This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Good evening. This is Rock Cash, your host this week on The People Speak. The People Speak invites audience participation. You can listen by phone calling 716-748-0144. Or if you have a computer or smartphone, go to bbsradio.com, navigate to station 2, click on the listen icon. You can also participate during the show with calling questions for our guests toll-free, USA, Canada, 888-429-5471. With us tonight is a follow-up guest from his last interview with The People Speak. John Barber is here. He's here to update us on what went on in Dallas at the memorial of JFK's assassination, where he spoke to the people that were assembled there. You can also get a copy of John's documentary, The Last Word on the Assassination, at Amazon.com. I'm sure you'll find it very, very interesting. John, welcome back to The People Speak.
Oh, Rock, it's a delight to be with you, and I hope you had as productive a Thanksgiving as I did. It was a very, very eventful week. I went to Los Angeles for 2 days to be with my son, who's a writer and co-executive producer of CSI Vegas, and then we went to watch the Los Angeles Kings play the worst hockey game they played in 3 or 4 years. I was in Dallas for 3 days, and then one afternoon I saw a movie that I think you should see, or you should have somebody on to talk about it, and you should tell your audience about it. It's a movie called Citizen Four. Have you heard about it?
No, I have not, but I will definitely look into it. It's called Citizens Four?
It's called Citizen Four, and Citizen Four, Rock, is one of the scariest films you'll ever see. Nobody gets killed, at least not yet. It's not the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's the CIA, NSA, Obama Constitutional Massacre. Rock, it is a very compelling, disturbing, and almost heartbreaking behind-the-scenes look at how and why a very appealing 29-year-old Ed Snowden risked everything to try to inform Americans how the security state under a lying Obama is now spying without cause on every one of us. Now, Rock, most of it takes place in a Hong Kong hotel room, which without intent adds to the claustrophobic feeling of being closed in on by the government. And to tell his story, Snowden sends encrypted emails to Laura Poitras, the filmmaker, and the encryption is Citizen Four. And to tell the world, she in turn contacts journalist Glenn Greenwald in Brazil. And Rock, for nearly 2 riveting hours, we watch and listen behind the scenes as Snowden, all alone, almost like a real Jimmy Stewart character out of a Frank Capra movie, unburdens his soul because of his belief in the laws of his government, the laws that the government is breaking, and to protect his fellow Americans whom they are targeting. Now, aside from discovering how unbelievably likable and supremely intelligent Snowden is, more important, we learn that the government's massive spying, Rock, has nothing to do with national security. It has to do with advancing and protecting America's corporate and banking interests. Now, it's not a movie that'll make you smile, and most people who hear me talking about this probably care less. But I can tell you, I saw it on Thanksgiving, and I must tell you, if I'm giving thanks to anything, I'm thankful that this country can still produce young idealists and activists like Ed Snowden, to whom Obama should forward his mistakenly earned Nobel Peace Prize. So,
well,
Rock, I urge you, and everyone listening who cares at all to go see Citizen Four.
Is this on going to be in the theaters, or where is it playing?
Right. Strangely enough, Joan Mellon, who was probably one of the best researchers of the Central Intelligence Agency and the legitimate biographer of Jim Garrison, and who was also one of the panelists on my documentary, she's in Princeton, and she said she can't find that movie in Princeton. Now, that's an educational and intellectual community, and I found it in a theater in Las Vegas. It stunned me. I thought I wouldn't be able to find the film until I got to an art house in Los Angeles, but it's called Citizen Four.
And was it in Las Vegas or Los Angeles that you've seen it?
I saw it in Las Vegas, and I was stunned. I mean, it's playing in Las Vegas, and it's not playing in Princeton. So I would urge you to have your audience see it and call in and tell you what they think about it. They are, because it happens behind the scenes. You actually see Snowden planning his revealing what it is he knows about the Central Intelligence Agency and NASA spying on Americans. We are literally behind the scenes. And you'll be astonished at how likable and how unbelievably bright the young man is. And he's only 29 years of age, so it's a fabulous film, and it is a much watch for anybody who cares about this country.
Well, we'll definitely get the word out for people to see Citizen Four. Can you tell us which theater it played in? Because there aren't many theaters out there in Vegas that'll allow such things to play.
It played in the Regal Theater here in Las Vegas on Sahara Avenue, around the 9400 West Block on Sahara Avenue.
Okay. And
I only found it by accident, honestly. I didn't expect it to be here, because a lot of really interesting films never come into Las Vegas.
Wow, that's nice. I will definitely tune in our people to it and let them know, especially the people that live out in the Vegas area. John, tell us how it went in Dallas. We know you were scheduled to speak there, so please fill us in on what happened.
The first thing we did, Rock, is this was going to be my one and only time ever speaking at one of these conferences, and the conference was organized by Judith Ferry Baker. Judith was the lover of Lee Harvey Oswald while he was still married to Marina, and she wrote a very interesting book called Lee and Me, which I read. I've read, about 400 or 500 books about the assassination, and sort of out of the blue, she invited me to speak, and I told her, well, I'll come, but this is the one and only time I'll ever come. And while I was there, I thought I would screen the Garrison tapes, the documentary at the Texas Theater where Lee Harvey Oswald had been arrested. And I sent $1,000 to the management at the theater. It was going to screen between 1 and 3 on Friday, and I said, do me a favor. Take the money and put up a poster. Go to Staples, make a 3-foot by 5-foot poster, telling people 2 months in advance, leave it in the lobby, that we're screening the film and Jim Mars and I are going to come up there and speak in person. And being the professional that I am, I got there a day early so I could take a picture of the poster in the lobby. They had neglected to do it. So in essence, there was absolutely no publicity or no promotion at all about the event. But fortunately, I had done George Knapp's Coast to Coast. I was on with Jeff Rentz and Leno Sonic, and I was on with you. So people showed up out of nowhere and rocked. Some of them came from 200 or 300 or 400 miles away, and they were a surprisingly terrific audience. So we got lucky in that respect. But the next day I did speak for my one and only time at a conference. And I'll tell you why, and I'm sure a lot of people listening will understand what it is that I'm talking about. In the 51 years, Rock, that these various groups who assemble every November 22nd all around the country, not once have you or I heard of the public being so alarmed by what they learned that they were moved to take action. They are all sidetracked by the trivia of the search for the truth when we all know what the truth is. John Kennedy was murdered by the Central Intelligence Agency. Jim Garrison said this in 1967 when he arrested Clay Shaw. And I'll tell you something, Rock. Had he the documents the CIA withheld during the trial but were forced to release this past year, he'd have won that conviction hands down, as well as Shaw's perjury conviction, which he did win, but which the government illegally shut down. Now, you remember the Warren Report was headed up by the CIA chief, Alan Dulles, whom Kennedy had fired after the disastrous Bay of Pigs, and the Warren Commission was set up to shut down an investigation. Now, as for the House Select Committee, this occurred in the late 70s. It was not caused to be set up by some brave politician or some daring journalist or movie director. Rock, this is set up by public pressure. Late one night on ABC, Geraldo Rivera and Dick Gregory showed the Zapruder film. The public outcry was so massive, Congress had no choice. The public realized that Dan Rather of CBS and the government and all the media had been lying to them about the head being thrown violently forward, and flooded Congress with hundreds of thousands of letters. Now get this. Richard Sprague, who was a very tough Philadelphia attorney, was appointed chief counsel. The first thing he told his small staff was that in no way were they to hire anyone either from the FBI or the CIA because they were at the top of the list to be investigated. Well, when the CIA was informed of this, they moved their congressional assets like Gonzalez, Congressman Gonzalez, and hundreds of their media assets to get rid of Sprague and replace him with a guy named Robert Blakey, Columbia law professor who not only hired CIA but dedicated his lying, misleading book about the mafia. He dedicated that book, and you can see it on the front. He dedicated it to the CIA. And Rock, recently he was invited this year to speak at one of these leading assassination sites. Rock, that's like inviting Judas to be the cook at the Last Supper. And an additional note about the CIA. In the mid-70s, the Church Committee, that's Frank Church, they investigated the CIA and found they had 1,000 assets working in American media. Now, Rock, can you imagine what they must have now? And I guarantee you they are infesting the assassination community. That's their job. Some are probably the most respected amongst them. So the non-CIA folks, a lot of them honest and bright and sincere, talking about all this seeking truth trivia, are like a sewing circle, just talking to one another. Many remind me, Rock, of the line from Macbeth, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing.
Well,
Five years ago, I offered the Garrison tapes free. At the time, Rock, it had 50,000 hits on my site. I offered it free to the 12 leading sites, asking them to post it for their members free, and not one would. And the one response I got was a rude one from a lady in Dallas who heads up one of these sites. They remind me of the American Cancer Society. If they ever find a cure for cancer, a lot of medical folks will be out of business. And if they ever try, even posthumously, which they can still do, if they try anyone for killing the president, a lot of these cottage industries will go broke. Rock, listen.
Well, the American Cancer Institute, I believe, is just putting out the cancers and the things that are out there. They've got cures, but they're just shutting them down left and right, John. I have a lot of friends that have contracted cancer and also have been cured by alternative means and not the chemo and the radiation that the doctors insist on.
If a doctor gets cancer, the last thing he wants is chemo. But let me just finish this, and then we'll get on to whatever it is you want to get on to. Rock, no matter how bright or brilliant a researcher is in this case, they will never find a document from the CIA saying how they did it. And I assure you, they won't even release the documents they're supposed to release in 2029. But we, the public, do not need that. To the Justice Department, the case is still open. And as Jim Maher so astutely and loudly points out, if you just look at the Garrison trial, the Warren Report, the House Select Committee material, and the media, Rock, there is a tsunami of perjury, obstruction of justice, falsification of evidence, et cetera, to bring charges now. But who in America has the balls to do so? Certainly no one in government, certainly no one in the media. So who? The public, that's who. If the public is pissed off enough, the public was pissed off during the Vietnam War about their kids being drafted and destroyed by an illegal war, and you remember they stopped it by marching in 1968 en masse to the Democratic Convention in Chicago. They were pissed off when they saw the Zapruder film. And you know what, Rock? Even in the audience that we had there in Dallas, the astonishing thing about the John Kennedy murder is that millions of them who look back at it weren't even born then. So why are they looking back? They're looking back because they are pissed off at what America has become. And what America has become is the result of what was planned by the empire builders and executed by the CIA in Dallas on November 22nd, 1963. And if you feel even a little pissed about that, do not attend any more of these JFK sewing circles. Tell the ones you like to get together with all the others instead of holding these chit-chats and conferences every November. Instead, march not on Dallas, where the murder was perpetrated, but on Washington, where it was planned. Make November 22nd America's Bastille Day, where we peacefully show up in sufficient numbers to overthrow these barricades of bureaucracy. And if they don't do that and just annually meet to compare notes, then they're just doing what the government and the CIA want them to do, which, as Bob Dylan said, is just blowing in the wind. Rock, I assure you, America was founded by people who were pissed off.
Oh, indeed, indeed. And it seems that majority of the people are pissed off now. And it seems that we're waking up slowly but gradually. There are, of course, John, you know this as well as I do, no matter how hard you try, and some of them, you can hit them over the head with a book of knowledge, and they still won't wake up. But, you know, this is something that we have to proceed forward.
You know how asleep they are. And let's take a look at Ferguson. You have these riots in Ferguson because a white cop is not convicted or charged with the murder of this kid who may or may not have been a delinquent. No, nobody knows, because we certainly aren't getting the truth about it. And every time CNN shows this kid's picture, he's in a cap and gown, like he's some kind of scholar. But anyway, you have all of one black person getting killed, and that was very sad that that happened. But look at this. Every day, 22 Iraqi and Afghan vets commit suicide, and more than half of them are black and minorities. So these idiots who are burning down their own shops and their own homes in Ferguson should forget about that. I mean, these people, these vets who sadly are so destroyed by the lies that George Bush told and the lies that Condoleezza Rice told, the black lady, and Powell told, the black man, These are the people the blacks should be going after to stop this senseless, phony slaughter that is going on around the world. But they're not. And the other thing is that they are so uninformed or so misinformed. Do you realize that a number of years ago, Coretta King and her family brought a civil suit against the FBI and the federal government, charging them with the murder of her husband, Martin Luther King, and won the case? Did anybody ever hear about that? And you know, to this day, if you Google Dick Gregory, because Dick attended every one of the sessions in Atlanta, if you Google him, you will find him going around the country speaking at large gatherings and universities and colleges, showing the films and the tapes from the trial, and he says publicly and points out how Jesse Jackson was one of the government assets who helped to set up the murder of Martin Luther King, and not once has Jesse Jackson sued. Now, you would think probably one of the greatest black men of this century, truthfully, was Martin Luther King.
Right, but Jesse
Jackson
was
getting ready
to
organize the Poor People's March in Washington. In 1968, when he spoke at the Riverside Church in New York, he said, "I hate to tell the world this, and I hate to say this about my country, but the largest terrorist organization in the world is the federal government and the American military." And then they blew his brains out at the Lorraine Motel. But you want to know something? They found out at the trial in Atlanta that he wasn't even going to stay at the Lorraine Motel. He was going to stay at the Sheraton. And Hoover and the FBI assets in the media started writing nasty articles in the Memphis papers about, why is he staying at a white-owned establishment? Why doesn't he stay at the Lorraine, which is owned by a black? So embarrassing, moved out and went to the Lorraine, where he was shot by the federal government.
Right, so they set him up again.
And it's in a wonderful book called Murder in Memphis by Mark Lane and Dick Gregory.
I don't know if you've heard about Vincent Bugliosi's book called The Prosecution of an American President, based off of his book called The Prosecution of George W. Bush for Lying to Iraq. That was recently released on Amazon.com also, and other sites like First Run Features. But we've been trying to get that into the theaters now that Regal got something in there. I think we might be looking at Regal to get this into some of their theaters.
Oh, that's terrific. The one thing that sort of disturbs me about Bugliosi is that he was one of the few people who was coming out publicly and calling George Bush a liar, and it was an impeachable offense for what he did, leading us through lies into Iraq, and he was sort of shut down by the media. And yet he turns around and writes this god-awful book about how Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin. And then the media opens their doors to him, and he's all over the media, for crying
right,
out loud.
Right. He also stated that he based it off of the Warren Commission. So, you know, as far as that point, he stated to us that he couldn't.
Listen, let me tell you something simple about the Warren Report. When Jim Garrison arrested Clay Shaw, Clay Shaw's attorney was a guy named Diamond, and he's interviewed in our documentary, and he admits this. Jim Garrison, this is what he did in order to protect Clay Shaw. First of all, Clay Shaw was a raging sadomasochistic homosexual. They found all the paraphernalia in his home, and Jim Garrison told his staff, "You never mention this again, and you never make it public." This is not about his character. It's about his involvement in the assassination. Then what he did is he took the case to the grand jury, like they did in Ferguson, and the grand jury moved to indict Shaw. Then in order to further protect Clay Shaw, Garrison took it to a three-judge panel. Well, what Diamond, who was Shaw's attorney, tried to do was introduce the 26 volumes of the Warren Report as evidence that Clay Shaw had nothing to do with the assassination. And guess what that three-judge panel did? They threw the Warren report out, calling it hearsay. And do you know what hearsay is? Hearsay is just gossip. The most egregious thing about the Warren report. Now, here you have these gentlemen assembled to supposedly investigate this crime. They have access to every single photograph and every single X-ray available, and there are hundreds of them. And guess what? They choose not to look at any. Do you know what they looked at? They looked at drawings, like kids, for Christ's sake. And there was no outrage in this country. And the Warren Report met for 9 months in secret. Now, I assure you, if that was the Cosby trial, and it's some woman charging him with rape, you'd find CNN and NBC and CBS and New York Times and the Washington Post sending editors banging down the doors and said, let us in and tell us the facts about a rape case, for Christ's sake. This was the murder of the president of the United States, the last president who thought he ran the country. And America is a disaster now because of the murder of John Kennedy.
Well, it's going to be even more of a disaster since China and Russia are planning on only purchasing things or selling things with gold. That's all planning on accepting.
Listen, that's one of the reasons they got rid of Gaddafi in Libya. Do you know in Libya the government would lend you money so you could buy a home and repay it interest-free? All your medical was free. All your education was free.
That
now, granted,
correct.
He may have been a dictator, but he was a benevolent dictator, and nobody went hungry in Libya, and he decided that he was going to change his currency to gold. And the same thing happened with Saddam Hussein in Iraq. He had decided that they were not going to deal with dollars and buying and selling oil. They were going to deal in gold or euros, and that's why they got rid of him.
Yeah.
They get rid of everyone who doesn't have a central bank.
Yep. Well, we need to take a quick break, John. We'll be right back. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com, pick up a copy of the DVD, The Last Word on the Assassination. We'll be right back here on The People Speak momentarily.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
With over 150 million registered users, Pal Talk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 Pal Talk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining Pal Talk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who were forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes. And when I'm divinely inspired and spiritually motivated, I listen to VBSRadio.com.
In a world of abundance, hunger is a crime. When a malnourished child dies, we're all guilty. Yet it happens every 5 seconds. Let's do the right thing. Put hunger away for good. Please, give to the World Food Program.
This land is yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you.
Welcome back to The People Speak. This is Rock Cash on the BBS Radio Network with our guest, John Barber. John, last time we left off, you were going to fill me in on a story that you have about Frank Sinatra. And, you know, we didn't have time to put it through and plug it in.
It's an amazing and unusual story. And it's a story that led right up to why I did the last word on the assassination. It's Rock, it's really interesting. An unknown Civil War soldier said, "I never got anything I prayed for in life, but I got everything I needed." And the truth is, I didn't get the things that I prayed for in life. I got close to it often. But when it came to telling the Jim Garrison story, I got everything I needed, which was really a purpose. Well, in 1977, NBC did the Laugh-In Revivals. And I was one of four of the writers on the show, and I was also their critic at large, because I was a critic at large at NBC News with Tom Brokaw. In Los Angeles, I got a call from the producer. He wanted me to do that on his air because he liked he liked my reviews in Los Angeles Magazine and on the air, and so I was hired to do that. This was the show that introduced Robin Williams to America. And anyway, Frank Sinatra, you know, is a very, very tough professional performer, so he was going to be one of the guests. And the producer would hand him the sheets of paper with the jokes on them, and Francis would just look at him and say, this is crap, throw it away. Then this is funny, keep this. This is funny, I'll keep this crap, throw it away. Well, all the jokes that he kept were jokes that I had written. So finally he says, "Who wrote this?" And somebody points to me up in the empty audience just watching the rehearsals. He says, "Hey, kid, come here." So I come down and I meet him. From that point on, for 5 years, I became his joke writer, his ghost writer. I wrote his letters to the editor, for which he paid me handsomely, and some of it is mentioned in Kitty Kelly's unauthorized biography, My Way. Anyway, Bing Crosby died in 1979, which was when I created Real People. So for 3 years, I was working 15 and 16 hours a day and didn't have time to do anything. But when we would get together and he'd ask me to do something, I said to him one day, "You should do an Italian Roots." Now, I don't know if you remember the TV series called Roots. It was about a black African-American, Kunta Kinte, and his story in Africa and how the family came to America. It played 5 hours straight, Monday through Friday. It was a blockbuster on ABC. And I said to him, I said, "Francis, you know, your friend Bing died a few years ago of a heart attack on a golf course in Spain." And he said, "Don't say anything negative about Bing, because that's who I wanted to be as a kid." I said, "No, but the point is, you won't hear much of Bing Crosby ever after he's gone, but I assure you, after you're gone, they'll be playing your music forever. And the reason is not because you're a great singer, which you are, or a great actor, whatever. It's because you were a social force. If you and the Rat Pack hadn't done High Hopes for John Kennedy, he would never have been president of the United States. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to put you in front of a camera. I'll come down to your place in Palm Springs every weekend. We'll do it 2 hours every weekend for months. You'll never hear my voice. You'll look into the camera. I'm going to ask you tons of questions. You're going to tell your life story. It'll be the first visual autobiography of a famous performer. And he loved the idea, so he said, write it up. So I wrote it up, gave it to his secretary, Dorothy. The next day he called me. He said, when can we start? Well, I couldn't start right away because I was doing real people. Anyway, when I parted company with the executive producer of Real People because he had deliberately slandered Garrison on NBC and I confronted him, I lost the show and nobody would talk to me in spite of the fact that I had created the first reality show, the most successful show in the history of television. We got a 50 share when MASH and all these other hit shows were only getting a 35 or a 40 share. The only person who would talk to me was Sinatra. And we were getting ready to do this fabulous thing that would have made me richer and more famous than I was doing Real People. And I had a friend named Robert Blair Kaiser, an ex-priest, who got one of the few interviews with Sirhan Sirhan. And he wrote the definitive book about the RFK killing called RFK Must Die, which was what Sirhan supposedly wrote in his notes. Anyway, he came to my house one night. We were really close friends. Left me his book and his papers and the autopsy report from Thomas Noguchi, the coroner. The autopsy report stated that the fatal shot could not have come from more than 2.5 inches from the left rear of the head because of the extensive powder burns to the flesh and hair, which meant Sirhan could have not killed Robert Kennedy. Now, the city council and the CIA and the police were for years trying to get rid of Noguchi, and they couldn't get rid of Noguchi. But Robert Blair Kaiser left the country because he feared for his life, left me with this material. Anyway, at one of Noguchi's hearings, his attorney calls me and said, would you come and speak on his behalf? So I said, sure. And, you know, I didn't think anything of it. I just thought that the coroner should be an independent, non-political office. So I go down and I testify. Anyway, Bill Holden dies. Now, how has this got to do with Sinatra and the assassination? Bill Holden had fallen down drunk in his apartment in Santa Monica, hit his head on a coffee table, and bled to death. And the newspapers and the TV reported that he tripped and he fell and it was an accident or he fainted. But Noguchi does the autopsy. And from the autopsy report, we find out that the alcohol level in his bloodstream was astronomical, that he got drunk and he fell down and hit his head. Well, now there was a storm of protest from the Hollywood community against Noguchi because one of their idols and one of their buddies and one of the icons of the screen was pointed out to be a hopeless drunk with what he was. And guess who headed up the Hollywood contingent to get rid of Noguchi? Frank Sinatra. So he and I never spoke again, never got to crank a camera. I just have a letter on my wall that says we were going to be working together. Now, what happens last year when the 50th anniversary was coming about? Nobody would play the Garrison film. And the media was just awash with a bunch of crap about the Warren Commission and supporting the Warren Commission. So I tried to do something to bring attention to the truth, which was Garrison's investigation. We booked UNLV. 1,200 people were to attend. George Knapp, who was one of the best late-night radio hosts in America on coast to coast on weekends, was going to interview him for nothing, and he wanted a $25,000 fee, and all I had left in my account was $25,000, and I agreed to pay it to him, okay? I knew that Robert Kennedy could never, ever make a contribution about the possible death of his uncle and the CIA involvement with also the murder of his father. But the emotional impact of having Bobby Kennedy screening the Garrison tapes in front of 1,200 people and doing a Q&A would have assured us that millions of people would have watched this simulcast across the internet. He backed out the day before. And the reason he backed out is his speaking agent told him if he got involved with Kennedy stuff, that he could no longer book him for $25,000 to talk about the environment. And I sent him a note saying, you can't clean up the natural polluted environment in America or the world unless you first clean up America's polluted environment. And I never heard back from him. Well, I had the $25,000 UNLV was anxious for us to do it, and I thought, I'll get the three brightest people in America to talk about this. So I got Jim Mars, Dick Russell, Joan Mellon, paid them well, brought them out here, and we did the last word on the assassination. And not only that, I got to use a piece of material Jim told me about that I could not use in the original documentary. Now, Jack Ruby shoots Lee Harvey Oswald, and if you're conducting an investigation, which the Warren Report didn't, but if you're conducting an investigation, you say, why did you shoot him and who told you to shoot him? Nobody asked that question except Garrison, and he gave me the information on how he tracked down the guy from Chicago who came to Dallas to order Jack Ruby to shoot Lee Harvey Oswald in the basement of the police station. So we did that new piece of material, and the show was a smash. Now, I'm out of money. So I have this documentary, and I'm going to put it up on Amazon. And as you well know, Amazon has 500,000 titles. 500,000. We started at 234,000. Last week, the last word on the assassination, by word of mouth only, is now number 14 in their documentaries and films. That's how well it's doing. And that's how hungry people are for the truth.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. I got a question for you from Eric in Ohio. He wants to know if you think that the 9/11 Commission has more credibility than the Warren Commission.
They are the twin towers of fraudulence. I had a young couple come from Louisiana to see the Garrison tapes, and I gave them a copy of it for nothing as they were leaving. And they were poor, but they wanted to see something important, so they came. And he said to me, he said, John, I don't want to get you sidetracked, but what do you think about 9/11? And I smiled at him, and I said, listen, all I know is that no smoke in the world is heavy enough to bring down Building 7, which wasn't hit by a plane. And he laughed, and he said, oh, you know what? I never paid any attention to that, and it's the first time I've been on a plane, and we were flying in and looking out at the wings, which are aluminum, and they were flapping. And I said to my wife, you know, if this thing hit a building, these wings would fall off. Which is
well,
true.
Not only that, John, the entire fuselage is alloy. It's a large beer can on, you know,
and
with
what
wings.
What people don't remember is George Bush tried to stop it. And the public pressure was so severe, he had to open it. And then he appointed or wanted to appoint Henry Kissinger, who is an indicted war criminal by The Hague, for Christ's sake, for murdering Salvador Allende in South America. And, of course, the public was outraged at that, and then he wouldn't go in and testify under oath unless he could sit on Dick Cheney's lap. I mean, the fraud of that investigation is so obvious. And yet, this guy who's respected by the science community, a Japanese-American, I think, Michio Okuku or whatever his name is, I've seen him twice confronted by people asking, you're a scientist, what about 9/11? And he avoids the question. They all avoid it. And do you know that Hunter Thompson, do you remember who Hunter Thompson is, the gonzo journalist, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? The day after it happened, Hunter Thompson in Colorado said this is an inside job, and if you Google Hunter Thompson on Australian radio. 5 days later, he does this interview in Australia, because they're the only people who talk to him, telling how it's an inside job.
Wow. Well, I know
so
it's an inside
your,
job.
You can tell your caller that's a great question, and Google Hunter Thompson talking on Australian radio, and you'll hear him telling that it's an inside job. So they are the twin towers of fraudulence, the Warren Commission and the 911 Commission.
Well, the second that the buildings were hit, okay, it was realistic. The second one, realistic. But when those buildings collapsed, that's when I knew for certain that it was demolished with explosives.
The other thing is this. I must tell you, it's the scariest stuff I've read. And I've never run across anybody to refute it. Now, these engineers and architects for a new investigation, they poo-poo her. But if you go to Dr. Judy Woods, that's J-U-D-Y, Woods, W-O-O-D-S, she has written an unbelievable book about what happened to the towers. They were justified. And she concludes, she doesn't say who did it or inside, she never speculates. Everything is scientific fact. It was not just demolition that took it down, but there's some kind of weapon that we don't know about that turned these buildings to dust. Because, you know, if you find buildings that tall, if they collapse, they will make such an impact on the ground that it affects the Richter scale, which measures earthquakes. The Richter scales measured nothing because the towers had disappeared into vapor and dust, and the metal was melted, for crying out loud. I must tell you, it is the scariest thing I've ever read, but I found nobody to refute her. So those who are really interested in what happened at 911 and how it happened should look into Dr. Judy Wood's book and site.
Yeah, we definitely will. Maybe we'll have her here as a guest.
Oh, you should have her on. I'm telling you, she's a very, very bright, maligned, middle-aged woman who's got degrees all over the place, and she just got into it sort of by accident, the way I got involved with the Kennedy thing by accident. And Jim Garrison got involved in the Kennedy thing by accident because he originally believed the Warren Report. Until he was on the plane with Hale Boggs. Hale Boggs told him there was no way that Mannlicher Carcano could shoot a rabbit, for Christ's sake. And that's when Jim decided to investigate and found out that Lee Harvey Oswald was in New Orleans and David Ferry and Clay Shaw. And that's what happened.
Wow, so. That's amazing. We will definitely try to get Miss Woods on our show. And we're also going to get the doctor you recommended on our show also to speak about the detoxification of these illegal drugs. They're legal because the government makes them legal, but they're, in a sense, illegal. You know, I've never figured out why they go after the heroin or the war on drugs and everything else, but they don't go after our pharmaceuticals for putting chemicals out there, or should I say medicine, that has a side effect of death.
Well, one thing that's, do you know that there are a couple of countries in Europe that will not allow pharmaceuticals to advertise on television? And if you look at television now, you'll see about 70% of everything that's advertised is something made by some pharmaceutical companies. I mean, America and Americans are an absolute and total mess because of legal drugs, not illegal drugs. It's from the pharmaceuticals. And a lot of these mass shootings that take place, when somebody goes berserk and shoots somebody, the chances are 99% that they're on some psychiatric drug that can be named. And when they perform autopsies, they have them. But these drugs, releasing the names of these drugs, are suppressed. you would be astonished at how many cases are heard in courts around this country where there is a homicide or even a suicide from somebody taking these drugs. A trial is held, and Pfizer or Dow or any of these people, they are found guilty and have to pay huge settlements. And you never read about it because the pharmaceutical companies spend billions on advertising in this country. And then speaking of that, the Supreme Court has said that corporations are people. Well, if corporations are people and people commit a crime, like if I commit a crime, I got to go to jail. But you saw these banksters back in Wall Street who brought this country down to its knees. I lost the $900,000 home because of them, and they never go to jail for fraud. There is no conviction ever, absolutely never. They pay a fine. These banks are paying fines with our money. I'm telling you right now, if John Kennedy were alive, the woman that is CEO of General Motors would be indicted as an accessory to negligent homicide. They know that their cars are killing people. But it is cheaper to pay them off than to recall the cars and fix them. And I, that's why I'm saying if every November 22nd people would march en masse, make it their Bastille Day, they will find out why these corporations are getting away with that. They will find out why student loans pay a profit that is larger than what Exxon earns. Or is it they should... total shame that you cannot go to a college in this country without mortgaging your future? And if you get these student loans and you go bankrupt, you're not exempt. They can still foreclose on your house and your Social Security. It's a, and you know that these, in Vegas, you see them all over these quick loan places. Do you know that there's no limit on the interest that can be charged?
That's correct.
People used to go to jail for usury. Not anymore. They profit from it. I mean, yeah, America is an absolute and total mess.
That's because we've let the Zionist bankers grab a hold of our banking system.
Well, it's not just that. You know, when I was doing the morning show in Los Angeles, there was such a thing as a fairness doctrine. And when Ronald Reagan came on my show when he was running for governor, I interviewed him for an hour. The following week, I had to have a Democrat on for an hour. And then a week after that, I have to have a socialist on. And because a Nazi could prove he could get 5% of the vote, we had to have a Nazi on. That doesn't exist anymore. And you know why? It's because NBC tried to entrap Perry Raymond Russo, who was Jim Garrison's key witness, and move him to an insurance job in California so he wouldn't be able to testify. Garrison wired him, indicted NBC and a half a dozen of their officials, but in order to get off the hook, NBC had to give Garrison a half an hour late night, 11 o'clock at night, to give him what they call equal time because of the fairness doctrine. When Ronald Reagan and the 1% who own the country saw this man on television, they said, Jesus Christ, we can't have people telling the truth to America on television. They killed the fairness doctrine. And also, when I was on television, a company could only own 7 television stations. Ronald Reagan and Clinton got rid of all that. Before, when I was in television, there were thousands of independent owners. Right now, Rock, 6 corporations own 95% of all the media in America. Do you think you're going to get anybody on there who's going to be telling the truth about what they're doing to us in this country? We are an occupied country.
Well, we've been an occupied country for quite a while. They've been doing that to us relentlessly since, actually, Lincoln. You know, a lot of people think that Lincoln was...
You want to know something, Rock? The government should, if they're supposed to be the government of the people, the government should never be allowed to investigate anything that they may have been involved in. The Warren Commission should have had maybe a few members of government. Then they should have had citizens participate. 911 should have had citizens participate. Oklahoma should have had citizens participate. Not the government. They shouldn't be allowed to investigate themselves.
Exactly.
And after 911, nobody was fired for incompetence or demoted.
Yep. Well, what can we do? What can we do? We just need to unite. I keep telling people, you know, people need to change their ideology and switch over from being a Democrat or a Republican or these different parties, and we should have just one united America. But
The Democrats and the Republicans are the left wing and the right wing of America's new bird, the vulture.
Yep.
It's meaningless.
I agree with you.
It is absolutely and totally meaningless. And the hard thing is, believe me, the hard thing is that people have been dumbed down so much deliberately, because I know kids who are college graduates at 20 and 21 can't get a job, so they got to join the army.
They've got to join the army
in the hope that they can get an education if they don't get killed. And when I was first trying to get into this country and wanted to join the Air Force, it would have taken 4 years, to 5 years to become a citizen.
Well,
now, if you cross the border...
We're going to have to end it right there. We're at time. I've got a couple of seconds to let everybody know about our guests next week. Don't forget to join us here on The People Speak. We will have Chad Lewis, paranormal investigator and frequent History Channel guests, will speak about Bigfoot, UFOs, Loch Ness Monster, and the paranormal. Join us here on The People Speak on the BBS Radio Network. Have a good evening and happy holidays.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.